All right. Today we are continuing in 1 Peter. We're in the last verses of chapter 4, verses 12 through 19 is what we're going to cover today. The name of the lesson is Living in Faith. And it's going to cover 1 Peter 4, verses 12 through 19. What would most encourage you if you knew that you were about to suffer for Jesus? What would most encourage you if you knew that you were about to suffer for Jesus? Our goal today is for us to recognize reasons to trust God to take care of us when we do suffer because of Him. So I want to look at this. And you know, it's so ironic how the Lord brings you extra little tidbits, you know, for whatever, you know, a devotional. I have several different devotionals. This one's by Tim LaHaye, and it's called Embracing Eternity, Living Each Day with a Heart Toward Heaven. I found it at a flea market. I love my flea market stuff. But I read today's, I wanted to, you know, it's all about we're going to be persecuted, because we're Christians. If it hadn't already happened, it will happen. And it can happen in small ways, and it can happen in really big ways. But just the Lord just handed this to me. It's in John chapter 15. So I always read the scripture first, and then I read the thing that they always give as the devotional. But this was in chapter 15, and it's verses 18 through 21 of chapter 15 of John. And it's all in red. So what does that mean? Jesus is speaking to us. So it says, if the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. That is Jesus telling us. They persecuted me, so you believe in me, they're going to persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. So I just thought that, I said, wow, that's exactly what our lesson is about. And that's in red letter, Jesus telling you that he was persecuted first. They hated him first. And now because we love him, they hate us. They being the world. The world that we are just journeying through. So I wanted you to just see, and the Lord just, I just happened to have time this morning. I always have time on Sunday mornings to just sit down and do my own personal devotional. But I did this morning, and he showed me that happened to be on today's thing. And I just thought that was cool. It says in Acts 11:26 that Jesus' followers were first called Christians at Antioch in Syria. Now, the term Christian was first used by pagans as a slur against a believer. But the believers accepted it as a label of honor because they were called Christians after Christ. But the pagans were using it as a slang, you know, it's an ugly word. As far as they were concerned, it was not a good thing to be called a Christian. So let's look at our first verses, verses 12 through 14 in 1 Peter 4. And the title of that section is called We Have the Spirit. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. So be happy, when you are insulted for being a Christian. For then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. Verse 12 tells us, don't consider it strange that you are suffering or will suffer because you are, and even though you are, a believer. A lot of people that don't know, that are not believers, tend to think that nothing ever happens bad to us because we're believers. And they don't want to be that goody enough to shoes. You know, they don't want to be a goody two shoes that they think that they have to be a believer. They think they have to give up anything that's fun. But we suffer because we are believers. God expects that our suffering because we are Christians will purify and refine our faith. We will be stronger Christians than before we suffered. You know, and it's not just, this is more talking about, I guess we can relate it to illnesses and that kind of suffering too, but mainly this lesson is focused on suffering because you are a believer, being persecuted. But even the kind of suffering that we have when we have illnesses or financial troubles or work loss or, you know, like when you had your house broken into, you know, those kinds of things, you know, when we come out on the other side, as long as we stay focused on God, we're better for it.
We grow.
And that's why this morning I asked for prayer to stay focused on God for my work, to not let the work stress win me over. Because it will. You know, it'll just envelop you if you let it. And I kind of had let it. I had let it get the best of me. And so I was off Thursday. First time in 10 months I've been off more than just a 4-hour Friday. And so I took Thursday and Friday and I had a, you know, John wasn't there Thursday. He had to work and I did some things. You know, I did some therapeutic things. I cleaned out my Tupperware cabinet. It was good. Organized it. Cleaned out, you know, most people have junk drawers. We had like a junk cabinet in the kitchen. And John, he just, you know, tossed it. And so I cleaned that. It took me a solid hour to clean it out and then get it organized back again. So I showed him where. He goes, how am I going to find anything? I said, we're going to have a little journey right through where everything is now. So, but you know, things like, but I took that time and I did some things that really didn't mean anything, but it gave my mind a break. And then I did a lot of studying, got the lesson ready, did some other studying for myself, and now I'm ready to go back focused on God and worried about what He thinks about me instead of what somebody else thinks about me. And then I'll just make it through. So I'm going to go back a different person tomorrow, and I want y'all to pray for me that I won't fall back in. So, but anyway, that was just a little personal thing. But no matter what kind of trial we go through, but particularly today we're talking about suffering because of persecution, coming out on the other side and staying focused on God, we will refine our faith. It'll be stronger, and like Betty said, we'll grow. So, when suffering comes because of your faithfulness to God, He uses it to strengthen His persecuted people. What does the word rejoice mean to you? Happy. Celebrate. When you rejoice. Joyful. Happy. God wants us to rejoice when we suffer for His cause. That's one of the paradoxical truths of the New Testament. Is that when Christians can experience joy while they're going through a hardship. A hardship of being persecuted. A hardship of no job, no home, illness, whatever. but they can experience joy because they have the Lord with them. And a paradox is something that sounds impossible, but actually happens. Experience joy while suffering. That's a paradox. Because most people would think, how can you be joyful when you're suffering? Those people are the ones that don't really know the Lord and don't know what that means. Our suffering is undeserved and is only because of our participation in God's redemptive purpose. So we're out there trying to live right, do right, grow our faith, witness when the opportunity arises, and we suffer undeservedly because of that. How many people have ever been persecuted because you believe in Jesus in like a big way that you right? Thank goodness. I've got this book at home called Jesus Freaks, and it's different stories about people, kids, they're believers, they're all believers, different parts of the world, different times, way before us, on up to present, and it tells stories of persecution. And one I was looking at, I got it out because I knew it would be relevant to today. And one that I remember looking at was about a young boy that was walking down the street in some country somewhere overseas. And he was walking with his friend, and the soldiers came up and shot his friend. I mean, they were young, and shot his friend in the head. And right before they shot, the little boy looked at the other one. And he said he saw something in his eyes. He told his mom this afterwards. Something in his eyes that told him, you want what I have, and that what I have is the reason they're doing it. I mean, he saw all this in that guy. In that moment, God let him see what he was missing. And he went on to say, his mother was a Christian, but she was so afraid to talk to her own children about it, for fear that they would be killed or she would be killed. She never told her kids, but when he brought it to her, she told him and she helped him. And they brought the rest of the family to God. And then he spent the rest of his time. The last they had heard of him in this book was he was going and bringing back Bibles in their translation and secretly getting them to people, little miniature Bibles so they could be hidden. Things like that. Now that is persecution. And so that boy was killed because of his faith at that young age. Yes,
some little girl that
yeah.
shot.
Mm-hmm. Some little girl
yeah.
was shot
because she was speaking out
for women's rights to learn.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the same kind. You know, she was speaking out for women's or girls' rights to be able to. Because in some of those countries, I don't think women are supposed to be educated and things like that. So. That was in Pakistan.
And she said it on the news the other day, and I was watching that she could continue to do it, too.
Yeah.
On the news last night.
It's just like Columbine shot that little girl.
And she died doing it. That's persecution. You know, we see it all around us, but like Miss Ann said, you know, fortunately, we have not had to. But we do experience it in small ways sometimes that we don't, you know, yeah, your job, you know, when you can't talk about your faith and things like that. And and you get, you know, and you get included in conversations sometimes that may not always be appropriate or something, and people may tease you because you don't want to participate in it, or you try to walk away from it. You know, there's all kinds of levels of persecution that we can experience.
I used to try to talk to a co-worker. She'd always say, I don't want to hear that. I've had religion up here. I grew up in a Church of Christ. I've had religion up here.
When we first moved to the house we're in 7 years ago, the lady, single lady that lived across the street, she happened to be my husband's aunt's old high school buddy. And she was over at our house that afternoon, and she saw her outside at her mailbox. And so, you know, so I went over and said something to her, and she said, "You can come over and talk to me anytime you want, but don't invite me to church. If you do that, I'm done." Okay. You know that. So I mean, so that's persecution. Did it stop me from talking to her?
No, from inviting her to church.
No, I told her that we went, you know, where we went, but she, I mean, that was just like right off the bat. I never heard it. I've never had that happen before. So, but anyway, our suffering is undeserved and is only because of our participation in God's redemptive purpose. The suffering will be inflicted by those who are set off by our goodness. You know, people don't want to have nothing to do with us because we have something they don't have and they don't know how to get it, and it's frustrating for them. But then they think that they can't get it without giving up something. Like I said earlier, our perseverance, meaning we continue on for Jesus even though we face difficulties, will result in our rejoicing when Jesus comes back. That's the best part, right? No matter what we go through, we're not going to be disappointed when Jesus comes back. There's no doubt that we, even us, we suffer in some way for being a Christian. And we talked about some of those things. Some see it as being weak to be a Christian because they don't want to understand that it's what makes us strong. Because we depend on Jesus. You know, it doesn't really make sense. It's another, you know, being strong because we totally depend on somebody else. Doesn't make sense to them. So where is God when we suffer? He's right there with us because He gave us His Spirit. He gave us His Spirit. You know, and you think about, I don't know if I wrote it down or not, or if I just studied it this weekend, where it said, that we got to remember that the God who is with us is the same one that created all of this. You know, we can't minimize who He is and that He was willing to do all that. Let's look at 15 through 16. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by His name. So in verse 15, Peter tells all believers, including us, that we are not to do anything that's going to give somebody grounds to charge us with some sort of misconduct. So we try, you know, the whole idea, and I don't think anybody in this room would do anything different, is to try to live right, stay in the law, and do what we're supposed to do. He lists four specific evils that we're not to commit. I would hope nobody would, but specifically as believers, murder, thievery, making trouble, and prying into others' businesses. Now, that's the last one is the hardest one, especially for us, because we think we know best, you know, as believers. So that's the hardest one. Peter is the only New Testament writer to use the Greek word that is translated meddler. He may have invented the word. It can mean covet another person's goods, interject oneself into another person's business, engage in conduct or enterprises unbecoming to a believer. And the Holman Christian Standard uses the word busybody. I like that one. That relates better to us, doesn't it? A self-appointed manager of others' affairs. Yep, because we always know that we know best, right? That's right. We are to impact others with our faith, but we do not intrude aggressively into other people's lives. And that is so hard, especially relating to family, not to want to intrude. When we are ridiculed or mocked for our faith, we are not to be ashamed. Christians then and now, because we are identified with Christ, are subject to being social outcasts, objects of ridicule, and victims of unjust charges before local officials and even physical abuse. You know, not hopefully here, but there are people that, I mean, they'll come in churches overseas and just either kill them or beat them, or it's just terrible what you have to go through to even try to go and worship. And Peter knows all this from personal experience, that the pressure of impending humiliation could cause a follower to deny relationship with Christ. What happened in Mark chapter 14 to Peter? What did he do? Denied Christ. How many times? Before the crow, before the chicken crowed, the rooster crowed twice. That's the story. So he knows from personal experience how easy it is to be afraid to be persecuted or humiliated because of his faith. So who better than to teach us about this? It puts into perspective our lesson today, knowing why Peter felt it so important to discuss this subject. He had done it, and he was guilty of it. God inspired him to write this using his own experience to draw from. So don't be ashamed of being a Christian. Take it as a compliment if somebody ridicules you or persecutes you for being a Christian. Like the Christians of old, they wore it as a label of honor when they were persecuted. Give God the glory by being strong in your commitment to Christ. Let's look at verses 17 through 18. For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news. And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to godless sinners? So Peter's meaning in verse 17 seems to be that us, the believers, would be judged for the manner in which we endured our persecution. Whether we remained faithful and brought honor to God by living up to the name that He had given us, Christian. If we do this, it will demonstrate the genuineness of our faith. If we stand, and you know, Peter was faithful, but he had issues, and that's what he means by believers being judged. It's not that we're going to be judged for, because we're saved. That's the most important thing out of this lesson, that we have to remember, whatever we go through, even if we did fall down like Peter, we still have our salvation. Christians have a difficult life, not a life of ease in terms of living right and suffering. What that means is living right is something that we have to work at every day. Every day you got to get up and pray that you're going to do everything like the Lord would want you to do. Isn't that right? I mean, you don't get it at some... There's something doesn't happen at some age that you become, that everything, you don't have to work at it anymore. Because the more we work at it, the better we get. And we know it's not going to be easy when we suffer. It's not if we do, but it's when. He gave us Jesus. And that was not easy for Him. We got to remember that. He did it all for us at great expense to Himself and a lot of effort to Himself. He didn't have to do that. But there are still people that stubbornly resist God's offer of love and grace in Jesus. Like the lady across the street. I mean, I hadn't ever said anything else to her about it, you know. So she... But I often think about that because I've never had anybody just be so, if you're going to talk to me about church. Apparently somebody else in the neighborhood had tried, and I guess she was just giving me a warning. If you're going to talk to me about church, don't, you know, I don't want to talk.
Well, I just send somebody to see that, Sanders, tell me, oh, I'm going to try. Knowing all the time they're not going.
They're just being nice.
They're just being nice about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I like people being...
Tell it like it is. What would become of the ungodly and the sinner? The ungodly, there's no place in their life for God, none. And that's that lady across the street from us is a prime example. It may be different now, but I doubt it. Sinner, individual who has missed God's mark, design, or purpose for their life. We're all sinners. We're just saved. They have only themselves to blame for the choices they make. This life is, you know, in all my studying and all the years I've been studying, and y'all been studying a lot longer than me, choice is in everything that we do. And this is, you make a choice to live like you're supposed to live and take everything that comes with it or not. When we suffer, we can trust God to care for us because our salvation is secure. That, you know, and that's another thing, is that make sure that your salvation is secure. I don't care how old you get, just always make, just if you've never done it, just make sure. Make sure that your salvation is secure. No matter what life throws at us, we are held securely in the grace of God. Let's look at our last verse. God is faithful and powerful in verse 19. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right and trust your lives to the God who created you, for He will never fail you. That's probably the best out of the whole thing. He will never fail you. Peter tells believers to go on trusting God and placing themselves in God's care. He stresses two truths in this one verse. We can count on God's trustworthiness in keeping us in His grace. And the power that holds us is the same power that brought everything into being. Now, that's what I said earlier. How awesome is that? The same power that holds us and lives within us is the same power that brought everything about. We never need to forget the awesomeness of God. As we continue to rely on God's faithfulness and power, we are to keep on doing what's good. Just keep on doing what you know is good. Our perfect conduct demonstrates our continuing trust in God. He's with us during our suffering. We have to decide to give God the glory for the suffering. Remember that. Just praise Him for showing you a way to refine your faith. That's the way you have to look at it when you suffer. It's just another way to refine your faith. So He's working on you, and He wants you to be stronger, because the next one, you're going to need to be stronger than you were for this one, whatever it may be. Just don't ever forget that your salvation is secure. Praise God as your faithful and powerful Creator, even when you're suffering. Just give Him the glory. Give Him the praise. And thank Him, because you know somewhere out there, you're going to come through it, and you're going to be better for it and stronger for the next suffering or task or whatever it is that He's got in mind for you. Because remember, there's a plan for all of us. Each one of us, He has a plan for. That's kind of awesome to think about, you know, and you just wonder all the time if you're doing it. All right. Does anybody have anything else they want to add or any questions or comments?
On TV, I think it was TV I read, so the other day, said your birth certificate has an expiration date on it, and it